Let's Grow Big Together. And all the fabulous podcasts made by Feast of Fun are made possible because of legendary listeners just like you.
For an ad-free experience, access our full catalog of over 3,000 shows on our website, feastoffun.com/plus, or follow us on Patreon at patreon.com/feastoffun.
Need help with your bodybuilding? Hire me to consult with you to get to the next level. Message me, Fausto Fernos, directly on Instagram, and for $99, I'll talk to you one-on-one on the phone and answer every question, every single question your heart desires.
When you're busy making gains in the gym, it's easy to overlook your own vulnerabilities. Because workouts can be exhausting, it's easy to let your guard down and fall for bad ideas, snake oil supplements, scams, or even worse.
Let's grow big together. You got big dreams? You want big muscle? Well, here is where you pay, with sweat. I'm Fausto Fernos.
And I'm Mark Fillion. In this series, we're taking a look at the passion for muscle, adventures in bodybuilding, muscle gods, muscle worship, and practical advice to put on the gains.
Today, we look at bad ideas good bodybuilders fall for, also known as bro science, how athletes fall prey to scams and conspiracies that stand in the way of their success.
Plus, a look at the fake fitness profile industry.
How you think about your food may be more important than you think.
And David Lade and Chris Bumstead pretend to be gay lovers for views.
And we love it! Well, latte freaking da, it's Let's Grow Big Together, the podcast that builds muscle even if it's living in a van by the river. Thank you, Chris Farley. I know. Every time I think about Mike Metzer, I think about Chris Farley's van by the river guide.
Because Mike's known for yelling at people, right?
He yelled at people, and he lived in a van by the river. He famously got into fights with Arnold Schwarzenegger because at the time that Arnold and Mike were competing against each other in the Olympia, Arnold was a rising star in Hollywood. And of course, just kind of the same situation that Chris Bumstead is in today, right? They were just sensations, you know. To meet, for example, Chris Bumstead at the Arnold, there was a line around the block, literally going around twice. And I was just like, there's no way they cannot give Chris Bumstead the top prize in whatever he competes
in. He's so well loved.
He's unstoppable, you know, and in some ways, I imagine that Chris Bumstead himself feels so much pressure because if he, you know, obviously doesn't look as good as some of the other competitors, it creates this like situation where they can't give him the award, or if they do give him the prize, it comes across as a scam. So yeah, that's the legit win.
And nobody wants a prize for like just being handed it to you because you're just a pretty little thing.
Well, he won my heart, but but the situation is, you know, in all athletics, it's really, you know, easy to fall prey for bad ideas when you're working so hard. And, you know, going for the silver medal myself this past year at the NPC Mid-American Winter Classic, I was just like, you know, it in some ways it's great because if anyone is like, well, you know, let's go get some ice cream, or do you have to go to the gym, and you know, really 70 minutes of cardio in the morning? Gosh, you just point to the contest poster and say, winter is coming.
And doing it for this.
And that shuts some people up, but you know, it also like then you're spending all this time negotiating and talking to people, and it's exhausting. And so then when you're sort of like working on your own, it's just you, your family, and your coach. And sometimes it's just you and the stairs, and you're just like, get on your phone and you start going on the internet, and you're just like, what the hell is this that's being targeted to me?
There's a lot of weird ideas out there.
Yeah. And so Mike Metzer, he is somebody who shaped and changed bodybuilding for the good. Even though he's somebody who admitted that he struggled with meth addiction.
Who hasn't?
And was gay for pay. Who hasn't?
Well, neither have I.
But the situation is that, you know, despite his own personal struggles, he strikes me as a very unhappy person because he was so singularly obsessed with building and chasing muscle to the point that it destroyed him as a person. And, you know, so in terms of...
It wasn't the meth that destroyed him?
Well, the meth was a part of his pre-workout, right? So it's like, you know, do you remember taking Jacked?
Yeah.
Back in the... That was like almost a decade ago.
2012, 13, 14.
Yeah. I love Jacked.
It had a meth precursor. Is that what it was?
Dimethylamine.
Dimethylamine.
It sounds like a fake thing from Breaking Bad.
I remember telling a friend, we should cook this into a rock and smoke it.
And they're like,
no, I don't think that's a good idea. I was just kidding anyway, kind of.
But I'm thinking like you probably... If you knew your chemistry, you probably could have bought... dimethylamine or Jacked and somehow distilled it and then dried it and smoked it back in the day. And for some reason, the FDA was looking the other way. And so for quite a many years, like, I loved working out.
They can't test every drug. I mean, there's a lot of party drugs that were on the scene for a long time.
Ecstasy.
And then eventually they're like, oh, let's regulate this.
Yeah. So, you know, to some degree, I always think caffeine is a drug still, right? And so now the new hot trend in pre-workouts is stimulant-free.
How does that even work?
Well, because
what's it doing?
Nootropics, right? So there's I call it Maybelline, but it's Maybelline. Why can't you be true? It's citrulline, and other similar compounds stimulate your brain in ways that caffeine doesn't, in order to engage you into get you going to lift for your best. And still, the drawback with all that stuff is that, you know, even the workout itself is going to wake you up. And so if you're lifting really, really late at night, it's going to keep you up at night and keep you from getting good night's sleep, which is when your body creates compounds, hormones.
When you build the muscle, right?
You build the muscle, but also it gives you your body the chemistry that it needs to maintain and grow muscle. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you know, a good night's sleep is the number one ingredient, rest, ironically, and proper rest. And so we'll do a different podcast about that because it's a very complicated and long topic about it. But in a nutshell, you know, dimethylamine, you know, was a popular pre-workout drug. And, you know, I even seen like on Instagram people taking pre-workouts just as a scoop dry into their mouth. And I'm like, the key ingredient.
To snort it.
Well, the key ingredient is water. So if you're taking this pre-workout stuff and you're not giving your body the water that it needs, and it doesn't give you the best of its abilities to get you ready for a good workout.
You got to stay hydrated.
Right. And so, you know, Mike Matzer, he is somebody who changed the way people thought about working out. So in Arnold's day, it was not unusual to be at the gym the entire day. And so these guys would bring their lunches. And I still see this when I was training, you know, like I work out sometimes at America's Gym, and I'm getting off of work at around 8 o'clock, and I'm lifting with my coach till around 11 o'clock or sometimes like 10 o'clock. And then I'm doing like, you know, 20 or 30 minutes of cardio in throughout the workout. I start smelling food, and some of these people, they are, you know, lifting for 3 or 4 or 5 hours.
Got to feed the beast,
but they're like taking a food break and then continuing lifting on, you know. And they have like a little kitchen and stuff. So
what's the theory about that? Is that not like most people want to have it like under an hour, under 2 hours, so that you can have like the rest of your life. But if you're training for something, why not 3 or 4 hours?
Well, part of it is that it's diminishing gains, right? Mm-hmm. And so you want to be able to stimulate, not annihilate. You want to be able to provide enough stimulus to your body. Mm-hmm. And so when you're lifting weights and you got that soreness, it's not lactic acid. It's actually just the muscle tissue is just a little bit frayed.
Yeah.
And so if you fray it too much, you get injuries. If you don't fray it enough, there's not enough stimulus for it to grow. And so you got to strike that right balance for you. And so what works well for one athlete may not work well for another one. And that's where, like, you know, consultation or coaching can be really helpful, because it's an objective person looking at what you do and seeing how you respond to it, and then making recommendations based on that. And so for me, like, I love being at the gym because I'm surrounded by beautiful men and women, right? And so
coming in the gym,
especially men. What is it? Coming at the gym?
Yeah. Well, isn't that what Arnold said? I'm always coming. I'm coming.
He's like, can you imagine how great my life is? I'm coming. Is like the pump is like coming. And so I'm coming at the gym, I'm coming on the stage, and of course I'm actually coming in real life. It's great, is the quote. Mm. But, and so, you know, with Mike Mentzer, he was somebody who said, hey, why don't we do the opposite? Let's create short workouts and really go intense.
And he had one where he was just like, this guy's going to grow big muscles by doing two reps of something. Yeah,
it was. And so he took kind of the opposite approach. But obviously, like Mike Mentzer, when he was competing against Arnold Schwarzenegger, he held his own. And some people even said that he had a better physique than Arnold. And Arnold would regularly go around to his competitors and try to psych them out. And Mike Mentzer's like, you're a fool. Like, he's like Mr. T, like, I pity the fool who messes with me, Mike Mentzer. So I think the takeaway is striking balance, right? Mm. And when you're struggling, when you're, you know, being an athlete, whether it is like you're going for the Olympics or the NPC or whatever contest you're trying to do, it's so easy to get frustrated, or you don't see the progress that you want to see, or you're not getting the records or the times, like if you're a sprinter, for example, right? And so you're just like, God, what can I do? What can I do? And so a lot of people turn to, you know, snake oil, good snake oil and bad snake oil.
You know? Snake oil is always bad.
Yeah. Well, you know, some snake oil does actually work, but it's snake oil still because it can come with harmful side effects, right? So,
well, I think that's the nature of snake oil, is it's saying it's something that does not work.
Yeah, but to some degree, like, you know, snake antidote is made from snake venom, right? Yes. And so, you know, in terms of why do we call bad things like scams snake oil? Do you know?
Because people used to go around and they used to sell something and it was called snake oil and it was supposed to protect you and give you vitality. It was supposed to do all these things, which it did none of it.
Yeah.
So snake oil means that this is something that does not work.
And in the music video for Say, Say, Say with Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney,
uh-huh,
they're snake oil salesmen and they're selling a strength tonic,
uh-huh,
that gives Michael Jackson, which is hilarious, super strength to knock out a bully.
I don't remember that at all.
And then they, you know, sit on the back with Linda McCartney on rest in peace on the back of a van, and they go to the next town, you know. And that's the plot of the 80s.
Okay.
In the 80s, like, music videos, where they spent so much money and, you know, they had script writers and now everyone's just like holding up their phone and they're like, hey, this is my song. Woo. You know, check me out on TikTok, yo. But back then,
different economy.
They would pour in. It was no, you know, Michael Jackson's music video for Thriller was so expensive because they actually hired Brian De Palma from American Werewolf in London and the special effects experts to turn Michael Jackson into a giant werecat, that they sold the rights of the making of the music video to HBO, and that's how they're able to fund the music video.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So back to, you know, bad ideas, right? So Mike Mentzer, you know, kind of took the opposite approach, and to this day, like, he's kind of a celebrated, controversial figure on the internet because, you know, he just came with a litany of, like, extreme reactionary ideas.
Right. Well, it was full of a lot of personalities. There's a lot of video of him today, and he's literally, like, yelling at you on how to do exercises. So it's kind of like, you know, so if you're, like, a sub-bottom or into that dom play,
daddy.
Coach. He's kind of like that daddy dom coach, right?
Yeah. And, you know, like, I think of even someone like, you know, Caitlyn Jenner, who earlier on in her athletic career was a famous international athlete, decathlete on the box of Wheaties.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so easy to be like, yeah, that trans woman is like, used to be like this celebrated athlete before, you know, all the other
became conservative
nonsense. But, you know, athletes tend to be isolated to some degree. And so they fall prey for like the idea that they did it all on their own.
Mm.
And it takes a village to build an athlete. It takes a village to raise a child.
It does start with you, you know, but you can get inspired by people. There's people that will support you along the way. You know, somebody built that gym you're working out at. People paved those roads you're getting to the gym at. So
who brought the groceries to the grocery store?
You know,
are you cooking your own meals? Is your family?
But you do have agency there, of course. You know, you're the one that's going to make it happen. Nobody's going to force you to get big and get muscle. You have to do that on your own. But, you know, again, with help.
Well, and you know, even if you are pursuing an athletic career, and people be shocked to be find out, it's like, they don't pay you to be in the Olympics. They don't pay you for any bodybuilding shows. I mean, if you do win, like, the Olympia, you get some money. Mm-hmm. But in order to compete in anything, most athletic events, you have to spend your own money or find a sponsor. And so, you know, like, that was a question that people asked me. It was like, mm-hmm. how much money did you win? I'm like, nothing.
I would lie and say I've got, like, $20,000.
Why don't you lie about that?
Well, just to see the look on their face. They're like, really? I'm like, yeah. Do you want some money? Here, fill out this form for the IRS. Put your social security number there.
Your PIN.
Your mother's last name.
Maiden name. Your mother's maiden name. Hi, this is Fausto from the IRS. We've been trying to get a hold of you about your car's insurance. We'll get to the scams in a second. But so, you know, this idea that more isn't always more, right? Because the fact that your ability to recover is going to be unique to you. And so, for example, do you have a full-time job, mm-hmm. or are you, like, you know, retired, or are you, is bodybuilding, are you an athlete, is your job, and you have a sponsor or someone paying you to lift, right? Recovery is going to be different. The kind of culture you come from, the kind of culture, your DNA, your body's ability to digest certain kinds of foods. You know, if somebody has a hard time digesting milk products, some whey protein might not jive with them, mm-hmm. right? So
what's weird, because some people can be lactose intolerant and they say they can't do whey at all, and other people are like, whey is no problem for me.
Yeah, and because everybody's different.
Yeah.
And so you need to determine that either, you know, through trial and error or working with a coach to figure that out so you can make the best gains. And so when you're being misled by somebody on the internet who may, like Arnold, trying to psych you out so you don't succeed, so they get to succeed. So be very skeptical with the advice, even our advice, right? So, like, do your own research and work with professionals who make a living at this, because otherwise you're going to sort of be in the dark. And tracking what you eat, tracking what you lift, and tracking your sleep, all that stuff is very helpful in order to understand how your body is reacting to it. And taking pictures once a week, I know it's sometimes humiliating. You're like, if you're working with a coach, once a week you have to take pictures of yourself, mm-hmm. flexing and relax. And it does feel like you're setting up an online dating profile, right? You're like,
my app now wants me to take photos of myself to see my progress and stuff. And I always feel kind of uncomfortable and awkward.
Which app is that one?
The workout app.
The workout app, yeah. Oh, it's wanting you to sort of like track that. Yeah. Well, it can be helpful, right? Because you can see like where you're making progress. And mm-hmm. you yourself have been self-guided for the last couple of years.
Well, you've been guiding me as well.
You're making those decisions on your own, when to train and how to train and what mm-hmm. to eat. No one's telling you.
Pretty much, yeah.
And I think that you're being more successful than most people at making progress.
You know, as long as you get as long as you do the workouts, as long as you get the nutrition, and as long as you get the sleep, something's going to happen, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and that's what I do. I always focus on those things, eat, sleep, and work out.
So what's like the big myth or big bullshit that everybody thinks is true and it just isn't in terms of when it comes to like food? Because we see all kinds, you know, you're training, everybody wants to, like, my sister's all like, you got to go vegan.
Oh, everybody's like, yeah.
They're also vegan bodybuilders.
And like, look at this guy. He built this body from just by being a vegan. And then you find out, oh, he went vegan 2 years ago. You know,
and then I have friends who are paleo. They're mostly carbohydrate. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, protein based. Mm-hmm. And they're saying like, cut out all carbs. Carbs are evil. You know, only has to be protein. You have to have butter, bacon, steak and eggs in the morning and nothing else. And you're like, that seems a little heavy.
Well, do what, like most people do. They just watch their macros, right? They look at and try and fill those things. They try and get their veg, their carbs, and their protein in.
Well, strike a balance, right? So, you know, this idea that too much protein is bad for your body has been debunked quite a bit. Amazingly, it's not that bad for your kidneys. What happens is a lot of people just don't have enough water. Mm. So if you weigh around 200 pounds, you should have about a gallon and a half of water a day. Mm. And even myself knowing this, it's a challenge to get a gallon and a half.
It's hard to drink a lot of water.
Yeah, because you're peeing like a motherfucker. And so the one thing I would tell people is like in the beginning of your day, preload your water. Chug, 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 chug.
First thing in the AM.
Yeah, because otherwise you're just going to be struggling later on. And it's like, and then, you know, a lot of people get a lot of their water in the evening.
When they're working out, right?
And guess what happens when you're sleeping at night? Your body's wanting to excrete it. And so you're waking up in the middle of the night to pee, which interferes with your sleep.
So don't drink water when you're working out late at night.
It's good balance,
yeah,
right?
Work it out earlier.
Figure out how much water you need and try to get in sooner than later because of the fact that you sleep is really important. And, you know, this other idea was also like cardio is bad or
who's
stretching.
Saying cardio is bad?
Oh, my God. Yeah. All over. Anybody who's ever been to any bodybuilding forum is like, cardio is the enemy of gains. And you're like, oh, my God, a healthy body is easier to build muscle than a sickly mm-hmm. body.
Well, you do need cardio because you need to get your heart pumping in that at that level, right?
Well, what is cardio exactly?
Cardio is like cardio is from your heart, right? So you have to get your heart pumping, and what that does is like you get all this fluid around your heart. It gets rid of that fluid. It gets rid of a lot of that pressure. It pumps the blood through your system, and so. Also, it makes your, by doing cardio, it makes your heart more dynamic. So what happens with like heart disease and hardening of the arteries is some of that is from inactivity. So it's not moving as much, so it gets harder, and then plaque builds up, and then you can have heart attack and die.
And it's short for cardiovascular.
Okay. Or pulmonary, right?
The term is cardiovascular, right? Cardiovascular exercise, and that means, the vascular means your capillaries, the smallest vessels that carry blood in your body are more susceptible to high blood pressure, to impurities, to illness. Mm-hmm. And when those go, all kinds of shit goes down. It's going to be bad. So just doing, and I tell people, what is cardio? Cardio is this.
Well, you can figure out, it's usually by your age, right? They say what your target rate should be. So like, I think for most people, it's like somewhere above like 120, right?
120 heartbeats a minute. Yeah. But anything that gets your heart rate going up, whether it's sex, mm-hmm. walking, jumping jacks, anything that's movement oriented mm-hmm. that gets your heart rate going, like stress also will raise your heart rate, but that's not good. That is going to be beneficial to your body to some degree. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people who live active lifestyles have better cardiovascular health than somebody who doesn't.
And they say actually any amount of exercise is significantly better than doing no exercise at all. Even if you're a type of person that can only do like a half hour of exercise a week, you're going to do better in the long term than somebody that does no exercise at all. And even that small amount.
And who lives longer, cat owners or dog owners?
I don't know.
Dog owners. You know why?
Why?
Not because dogs are better than cats, because they have to walk those dogs.
Is that bro science?
That's not bro science. Look it up. Tons of studies about it. Okay. You know? And I think
it's not because cats are killing people.
Maybe the cats are stealing your breath when you sleep. But, you know, the act of walking your dog or just getting out, just because it's healthy for your dog and it's healthy for you. And believe it or not, some people have turned to walking their cats. So they put they train their cats and put them on leashes and take them outside.
My dad used to take the dog for a walk on a leash in the neighborhood, and then the cat would just follow.
Oh, that's so sweet. Aww.
And it usually would run along the houses and through the bushes and whatnot, and you know, run and then play catch up and then wait. It was adorable.
And you know, to some degree, people with parrots, they've put the parrots on leashes or just trained their pet birds to be on their shoulder and they go outside. If it's good for your pet, it's going to be good for you. So, you know, your dog needs water. You need water. Your dog needs regular amounts of foods. I'm not a fan of like intermittent fasting.
Well, it's hard for you to fast. You're not a person who likes to.
I used to fast. We used to always fast when I was in college. It was a thing to do.
Yes, that was many years before I knew you. Since I've known you, you do not like to go for extended periods of time without something in your stomach.
That's right.
You know, you get very cranky without it happening.
I need to feed.
But, you know, there's some benefits to it. They say that it helps with the production of human growth hormone, which repairs your body and helps your body grow.
So what's holding you from doing it?
Well, because I don't necessarily like to go for long periods of time of being hungry either. Well, the way our lifestyle is set up, sometimes it makes it harder. I work at night, so like I'm sometimes getting, you know, I'm going into work sometimes at 3. I'm eating my dinner at 7 p.m., and then you get off at 10 or 11, and then, you know, you're still a little hungry, right. So then you have a little, maybe you go to the gym after that, and then you want to eat, and so you're eating and then going to bed. It's not the best thing, but it's also like, you know, my body wants the fuel. It wants that energy.
We're going to take a little break for a word from our sponsors, and we're going to, when we come back, we're going to give you some of the biggest whoppers, the biggest scams, and hold on tight, because these are outrageous. Feast of Fun is made possible because of fierce, fabulous people just like you, and by Shameless Care.
Imagine a world where the fear of STIs is a thing of the past. A world where you can truly be free. Sounds impossible? Not anymore. Let us take you back to the time when PrEP revolutionized HIV prevention. Remember the collective sigh of relief? The renewed sense of freedom? We're here to introduce you to a similar game changer, DoxyPep from Shameless Care.
Everyone's been talking about DoxyPep. Not surprising, given it's been proven to be up to 90% effective at curbing STIs like chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. Reputable media outlets are buzzing about it, and health professionals are stoked.
And where can you get your hands on this wonder drug? Shameless Care, of course. As a top telemedicine provider with board-certified physicians across all 50 states, we have one mission, making DoxyPep accessible and affordable.
No, we didn't invent DoxyPep, but we are your go-to place for getting it. The process is hassle-free. Answer some medical questions on our HIPAA-compliant online platform, and one of our physicians prescribes DoxyPep to you. Voila! It's shipped straight to your door in discreet packaging.
And here's the zinger. DoxyPep at Shameless Care is insanely affordable. Just $109 a year. Guess what that covers? Your online evaluation, the medication, and shipping.
So, are you ready to rewrite your story? Ready to rediscover the joy of carefree intimacy? Visit shamelesscare.com/feasts. That's F-E-A-S-T-S. And take control of your sexual health. Once again, that's shamelesscare.com/feasts. Plural feasts. Your liberation is awaiting. And if you didn't hear an ad, it's because you are a paid subscriber to Feast of Fun Plus or to our on Patreon, where you get to listen to our show with ad free.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you lucky?
Yes.
How do people go become subscribers?
At feastoffun.com/plus, yeah. Sign up and you can get access to our thousands of podcasts that we have in our archives, or you can go to patreon.com/feastoffun and listen to the ad-free experience.
Let's grow big together and Feast of Fun, our projects of our parent company, which is just us, Feast of Fun.
Mommy and Daddy here.
And so you can access over 20 years of amazing shows and interviews with all kinds of people and all the Let's Grow Big Together podcasts without any ads. And so one scam, there's a couple of supplements that everybody used to take all the time that no one takes anymore because one was turned out to be cancerous. Beta carotene.
Yeah, there were studies, beta carotene, people were taking that and they were figuring out that people were getting lung cancer from it, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. I remember taking that and thankfully I don't have lung cancer that I know of.
I know.
I had a friend, her sister got cancer, lung cancer, and she started off with a cough and she coughed and she's like, oh, it's just a touch of cancer. And then it turned out she actually did have cancer, unfortunately. Yeah.
Something that bodybuilders used to take all the time, they don't anymore, was Red Bull. Red Bull gives you wings.
Mm.
And Monster.
Batorian's good for you.
Monster, yeah, but go read the label. Guess what's on the back of the, how much taurine is in?
Probably very little.
Tiny
amounts.
Tiniest amount. Actually, taurine actually is really good, and creatine in preventing cramps. Mm-hmm. But some people believe actually creatine causes cramps, but that is not the case.
Mm-hmm. Well, creatine is one of the most studied supplements, and everybody is just like, it works. It puts fluid into your muscles. It makes your muscles look bigger. It helps with brain function, they say.
I still feel like I take creatine every day, but I still feel like it's a highly overrated supplement. And like Ronnie Coleman's like, how'd you get so big? And he's like, creatine. And I'm like, and a little bit of anabolic steroids. But yeah,
but people still get nervous about it. I've had people be like, what do you think of creatine? As though they're talking about like, what kind of drugs should I do at the gay circuit party or something, you know?
Yeah, just snort the creatine, man. And taurine, yeah. But, you know, I think to some degree, like,
like taurine, they say, like, you know, this gives you wings and stuff like that. But don't a lot of people take taurine at night?
You can take taurine. So the reason Red Bull had that slogan is because it had high amounts of caffeine.
Yes.
And caffeine can cause cramps and your muscles locking out when you're working out. And let me tell you, as somebody who struggles with that, it was a nightmare. So, you know, anabolic steroids, if you're taking them, can also lead to drying out your muscles, especially Winstrol, I think, is one of them. And so that tends to dry out your muscles, and so it increases the chances for cramps.
So when you say dry out, so there's not as much water in there, but also, what about the electrolytes? Because don't cramps sometimes happen from lack of potassium or something, right?
But something to be really careful of is you want to supplement potassium through your diet and not through medication. Mm. And that's because it can compromise your cardiovascular health. But taurine and creatine, great stuff. I if you're having cramps, take about 3 pills. They sell 1,000 milligram pills about an hour before you lift. And creatine, 5 milligrams, take it. Also, I like to take it right before I lift as well.
You put it in your smoothies sometimes.
In my smoothies, yeah. Now, another thing that a spotlight supplement that I would like to draw attention to today is that a lot of bodybuilders don't know about this, but we learned this from a bodybuilding witch. She was a Wicca that worked at the vitamin store, and she turned us on to Cissus Quadrangularis, which is an
Ayurvedic.
Ayurvedic. I always forget how to pronounce that herb.
Which is like ancient India.
Yeah. So this herb is like amazing at helping your body heal from tendon injuries, muscle injuries, and also helps improve your cardiovascular health and protect your kidneys. Mm-hmm. So if you're on...
I think it's supposed to be good for immune, too.
An immune system, yeah. So it's great stuff. Taking about 1,500 milligrams a daily. Great stuff.
What's it helped you with?
Well, I was having really big problems with my shoulder this past couple weeks. And I think it was you who were
it reminded you.
Yeah, you were like...
Are you taking your Cissus?
And I was like, Cissus, I completely
Because you originally started
forgot.
Taking it for your knees, right?
I took it for my knees, and it helped a lot. But, the thing about it is, like, with some of these supplements, you can't be on them indefinitely because the potency just kind of wears off, right? And so, you know, with Cissus, I started taking it. Man, it just made quick work of my shoulder to heal. Mm. And you want to take it in the morning and the evening, preferably on an empty stomach. Now, here's the big whopper. This is really interesting because this is all tied to neoconservative, reactionary, conspiracy theories, you know.
No shortage of those.
Fascism and athletes is women. Mm. Women are to blame for low testosterone levels in men and not, you know, lethargy, our environment, our food supply, the stress that we face. The fact that we don't are as physically active as we used to be.
What are they saying? Women are like just like vampires sucking testosterone out of the men?
Well, you know, when you read and listen to podcasts and blogs about this issue, they come across as the Little Rascals Women Haters Club. And I'm like, so are women lowering women's hormones, testosterone levels too?
Well, like, you know, they do like, that queen bee syndrome where like a woman will start menstruating. And like if she's living in a house with other women, they'll all get on that same kind of schedule and they'll all start menstruating at the same time.
And what's the benefit of that?
So I don't know. So you only
there's a biological benefit for women synchronizing their hormones.
So fertility.
Because
they're all fertile at the same time.
Exactly.
So when they have the big giant sex, orgy, bash, they all can get pregnant at the same time.
Kind of. And likewise for men, you know, we don't live isolated. It takes a village, right? And so the women in your household and at work, in your community, have an influence on you just like the men do as well.
Do you think there's a king bee syndrome where, like, if you're around a guy who's got high testosterone, everybody else is going to start?
Well, there was a study that we talked about the perception of men's penis size.
Yes.
And their athleticism.
Cockocracy.
Cockocracy, right? So the team that thought
their captain,
their coach, their star quarterback had a bigger dick perform better than the ones who thought their lead coach or captain had a small dick.
Yeah. And he didn't. And that's all perception. The guy, they may have both had the same size dick, but it's how you perceive the dick.
So, and we're going to get to that, and how you think about things shape the outcome. But so right now there's this really disturbing trend, and these are like otherwise progressive guys, you know, Bernie Sanders supporters, you know, anti-racism, pro everybody belongs in bodybuilding people who are spewing this hogwash. And the number one thing they say is that women in leadership positions are making men sick. Oh. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, you don't tell us that you don't have a job without telling us you don't have a job.
Well, maybe they work for themselves.
They're obviously, because they can't have a job where a woman shows up.
So they're saying, because if they have a boss who's a woman, their testosterone is just naturally going to decline.
And so this idea is like, we're not blaming on the fact that there's a war going on to make people sick. You know, Susan Powder talked about this, that basically there's money to be made by keeping you sick and weak and unhealthy. Mm-hmm. Then there's money to be made making you strong and healthy, right? And so, you know, these corporations, so they're taking all the responsibility off these corporations that are sort of pumping like junk food into our food supply. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, so much money being spent on increasing car consumption and car culture as opposed to like walking culture. There's very little subsidies in terms of like encouraging people to exercise. The cost of gym memberships are going up ridiculously high. Gym hours are closing. And there's one gym was asking me to join. I said, but your gym closes at 8 o'clock on weekdays. And I'm like, I explained to them, I was like, when do you think people go to work, sir? And he's like, they go from work to 9 to 5. I'm like, correct, right? Well, some people get, you know, if you look at it, these days people work from 9 to 6 with an hour for lunch. So if they're leaving their jobs at 6 o'clock and grabbing something to eat to get to the gym, it gives them less than an hour to work out. And we've all been at gyms where they're like, the gym's closing in 30 minutes. The gym's closing in 15 minutes. Exit the building or the building will blow up. You know, and you're like, clearly your gym is for retired people and not for people with jobs. Have a nice day. Call me when you change your hours. And the proper bodybuilding gyms, good gyms, are 24 hours. They figure out how to make it work. You don't need to have a person stare, a team of 5 or 6 people staring at people working out at midnight or 11 o'clock at night. You need your main staff during working hours, right? So this whole idea is like, they're not holding all these people who are actually lowering our testosterone levels accountable. They're making women accountable for it. So then they go on, and this is one podcast. If you guys want to hear about it, I'll send you a link. It was not being bossy or aggressive or pushy to your girlfriend is going to make her leave you. Tell me you don't have a girlfriend without telling me you don't have a girlfriend.
Well, what woman doesn't like a big, strong man?
There's, you know, you want to be respected. You want to be loved. You want to be included, you know, and it's like a good relationship is based on communication. But somebody who's thinking like, I don't need to tell you woman.
Well, that sounds like these guys probably, you know, at some point in time experienced some kind of trauma. And so it doesn't seem like it's exciting kind of love unless there's some kind of like madness happening. That if it's just something comfortable, calm and nice, how can that possibly be love? It has to be like something that's like tearing my heart apart.
Allowing boys to play with dolls makes them weak.
Oh.
And I'm like, hello, the Barbie movie just came out. Sorry. I mean, who hasn't played with, and this is a weird thing, like, define what a doll is. You've played with a G.I. Joe action figure, Star Wars action figures. Yeah. Those aren't dolls.
It's interesting. It's ridiculous. They don't call them dolls, right?
Yeah.
It's action figures.
Because, you know, that would lower boys' testosterone levels and would make them weak.
How much testosterone level does a little boy have anyway?
Well, that's what they're saying is that they grow up to be weak men or sickly men or, you know, because of the women, because of the dolls and all this stuff. And to me, it's so heartbreaking because it's this idea that, you know, being loving and kind to children and letting children freely express themselves is harming them. And the saddest thing that makes me is that fathers holding babies lowers the father's testosterone. And I'm just like, oh, my God.
Maybe for a moment. Is there any science behind this? I mean, they've done studies. Is that what's happening?
They're all, you know, there's going to be a study. But it's like, you know, think about all the fathers during the COVID pandemic have spent time with their children. And and how, like, these days, fathers spend so much time with their kids. And I think they're, you know, correlating the real issue of
it's environmental
issues of. And this is not just men. This is women. This is non-binary people. This is all kinds of people are struggling with health issues based on our environment and lifestyles and food supply. And instead, they're blaming it on fathers being loving to their children. That breaks my heart. And conversely, then they say wealth and success in business is a result of not loving your children, being pushy and mean to women, and making sure that women are not in leadership positions in your business.
That's nefarious.
Yeah. And they're buying it. And then the top of it, this is an actual quote, relationship to advice to heterosexual men, resist. Don't be complacent. Don't be agreeable. Don't concede. Always win.
That's some incel bullshit right there.
That sounds like Cher. We used to play this game. Cher, drag queen, fitness influence, or Nazi. Mm-hmm. You know? Who said it? Isn't that just so heartbreaking? And I don't know, like, Mark, what, hearing all this stuff, like, what's your visceral reaction? What are you thinking here?
Well, you know, I think some of this, it just kind of comes to, it sounds like it's... They may have had these studies done or looked at these studies, and, you know, you can look at studies, and if you have an implicit bias against someone, like misogyny, you know, if you don't really like women or you're figuring out how to, like, control women in your relationship, then these kinds of things are, like, will help prop that argument in your mind up.
Yeah.
So you've have this theory, and so then you're looking for other things that are going to support it.
And I'm like, what exactly do you think you're winning?
And, like, what happens if your maybe if you have a wife and your testosterone level drops, like, how much does it drop and what does that actually do to you? And if you're on steroids, what the fuck do you care anyway? You're supplementing it anyway.
Well, right? This is the thing, right? So it's like, if we, you know, performance enhancing drugs aside, your human body is going to, like the waves of an ocean, it's going to ebb and flow in its hormonal cycles. When we sleep, our hormones are not the same as when we wake up. And this idea that, you know, more testosterone equals more success, I'm like, well, then, you know, hey, asshole, why don't you just go take some, you know, high levels of testosterone and see how that affects your business? It won't. You know, your customers will be like, this guy's nuts. And we all know people who run gyms or businesses are like, damn, that guy is fucking bonkers, you know? I tried to join this one gym one time and the guy was just irrational, sweating, crazy, pushy.
Was it Mike Metzer?
He kind of might as well have been, you know, it's like, and to me, I'm like, what is it that you're winning? What ultimately, even Arnold Schwarzenegger says, you know, this idea that bigger is better is destroying bodybuilding because people look at these bodybuilders and they're like grossed out by it.
Huge and freaky.
You know? And so, you know, it's also really, on a positive side here, we start seeing all these bodybuilders and fitness influencers embracing their feminine side. Think about John Cena dressing up in drag. I mean, he's one of the most successful.
You can't keep him out of pantyhose. Yeah. These days. If he's not wearing a fishtail, he's in wigs or, you know, a halter top.
Well, and you know, like right now, Chris Bumstead and what's this? The other guy, David Laid. Sounds like a porn star name. Somebody edited a video making it look like they're pretending to be gay lovers for views.
And it works.
And it's so adorable.
It's like a very romantic couple together.
They seem so happy.
Right?
Right?
I hope they're happy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, personally, I actually know some famous bodybuilders. I'm going to keep my mouth shut that we've been, you know, chummy. And now I see them on Instagram getting married to a woman.
Oh.
And I'm like, they probably feel the same way when they find out I'm married too. So they're like, no, you're married to a man. But you know what? Listen, your life is going to be as unique. Your love is going to be as unique as you are, and chase that and pursue it relentlessly.
Yeah.
And if you're bisexual and being with this one woman is making you happy and marrying her, marry her. It's okay. You know, you could still be part of the.
You still got my number.
You still got LGBTQ plus there. You know, you can be, if you don't feel like you are bisexual anymore because you're in love with a woman, you could still be an ally. You can still be rooting for people to be treated with kindness and equality.
You can still come over on Saturday afternoon. She's away.
Well, if they don't want that. Yeah. But, you know, and so, you know, David Laid and Chris Bumstead and a lot of, we call it, what is the term called? Gay baiting.
Mm-hmm.
Is people pretending to be gay or actually being gay for money or for views. I mean, Mike Metzger was, you know, gay for pay, right? Gay parfait is ugly, I think, yes. And gay baiting is kind of more fun or playful.
Gay for pay is usually associated with doing pornography or sex work.
Yeah.
Gay baiting is, you know, trying to pretend like you're a little bit gay to get people interested in your career.
I mean, Jake Burton famously went by the name of Stu on Sean Cody.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's one very successful bodybuilder, coach, and fitness influencer. And DJ, I don't know, Annihilate. His name is DJ Annihilate. And, you know, I talked to him about coming on the show, and he was like hours.
This close.
And he was like, oh, I'm scared.
Was it really him or was it a fake profile?
No, because it was his verified profile online, you know. Or maybe it wasn't. You know, we have a friend, Steve Grand, who's known for All American Boy. He's also a famous bodybuilder as well. And I guess you were at a party.
Well, I don't want to get too deep into it just because
Well, he says talk about it. I asked him.
This is other people's personal business. But, you know, there's a lot of... Somebody I know got into, like, many conversations with somebody that they thought was Steve Grand. And they're like, hey, do you think this is Steve? I'm just like, that is absolutely not Steve, you know, because Steve wouldn't talk to you like this. Steve wouldn't ask you for money. Steve wouldn't do that kind of stuff. Like, that's not how he is.
So someone went and saw Steve Grand's success and the fact that he's a really good-looking, beautiful, muscular man. And
catfished somebody.
And downloaded all his pictures and pretended to be him going to somebody and started a relationship where the end goal was to get money from them. And be like, oh, man, I'm really hitting it hard and stuff. And Steve, I talked to Steve about it, and he said, you know, there's an industry of this, right? So there's spammers, there's telemarketers that are trying to steal money from seniors and stuff like that. There is a whole industry of people who sit down and go after people with those verified check profiles or have a lot of views or, you know, followers and pretend to be them and then go around and causing mayhem or mischief, or with the ultimate goal of getting money from people. And I've actually run across people who've done that about me, and I started chatting with them, and they were not realizing they're talking to me, even though
because they don't even know what photo they're using that right day exactly right.
And so then I find one person, I was like, you are so I started like creating a conversation. I said, you are so beautiful. My God.
Oh, wow.
I was like, I would love to get together with you and have sex, you know, and stuff. And then, of course, he's like, I'm broke and blah, 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 blah. I was like, well, maybe I could just write myself a check. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, you're using my photos. And they're like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Blah, 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 blah. And
you got to report these.
Of course, I report them, you know, but
report them before you block them.
Yes.
Because otherwise they're going to do it to other people.
But it's something serious, you know, and to me, it's like those people who now are like going after, because I took screenshots of all this stuff and I went to Facebook and Instagram and said, look, people are pretending to be me and I don't have a verified profile. Can you, here's my driver's license. Here's my information. I've been on television. I have press media views. I have a Wikipedia page. What criteria do you need to know or have that is going to allow me to get a verified profile? And they're like, we decline. And I'm just like, you know,
Meta.
But then this Veta, Twitter, now Twitter and Meta are allowing you to pay money to verify it. But here's the thing I'm thinking about it. It's like if you're a bodybuilder or fitness influencer or, you know, just a good looking person that gets a lot of views because of your looks. Maybe it's better not to have that check mark because it almost becomes kind of like a target. Yeah. You're painting a target on your face to someone then pretend to be you to then hustle other people in your name and your appearance for money.
I feel like about 5 or 10 years ago, those verified things, people were more interested in having them. Nowadays, I feel like they don't really care, especially since Twitter started charging for it. They're like, I'm not paying Twitter anything.
Yeah.
Or X.
X.
X Twitter.
You're dead naming Twitter.
I mean, X.
Right?
Well, it's like the Sears Tower. You're like, what are you going to...
Willis Tower. It's the Willis.
I don't even know. Is it still called the Willis Tower?
They're going to change it soon. They're trying to sell it.
Right? I think it's somebody... It's going to be something else.
What's the name of the company that owns the Willis Tower? It's like Blackstone or something like that?
I'm not sure.
Sounds like some scary, evil company. And so, you know, in terms of like dealing with spammers and stuff like that, it's not a bad idea to every now and then just post. I know you sound like your grandma going, I do not give Facebook permission to use my photos. But, you know, might be a good idea to say, hey, this is really me. And the reason you know this is me is because of this facts or information.
Mm.
But then again, you're giving somebody who out to fraudulently imitate you the more personal information. And part of it is, you know, it's me. Cause if you message me and you want coaching or consultation, just say, let's grow big together. Mm-hmm. I'll do a video call with you for $99 and we can go over everything you want to know, from performance enhancing drugs to your workout routine, to your diet, to your sleep, to vitamins and supplements, your stress.
You can't do it alone.
Was there a personal trainer lights a fire underneath you? A good coach lights a fire inside you.
Deep.
Deep
inside.
And so, you know, for $99, just message me on social media. I'm Fausto Fernos, and I'll be able to help you. And, you know, for $99, like, all these other coaches charge you. I try to get, like, coaching or consultation with one famous bodybuilder. He wanted to charge me $3,000. Ridiculous. And I was like,
he wants to know if you're serious or not.
Are you free? I'm like, I ain't got $3,000. I'm like,
he doesn't want you.
I know. I'm like, and you think like Chris Bumstead would pay $3,000 to this guy? Fuck no. So I'm like, you know,
Chris pays himself $3,000.
Yeah. He's like, pays him his David late $3,000.
What's the deal with this, how food impacts your body and how you respond to it?
This is such a really fascinating study. And I've always felt about this, that how you think about food changes the way your body reacts to it. Mm. So they did a study and they basically gave two groups of people identical milkshakes. Mm-hmm.
And they were like 100 some calories or 300 calories.
Well, to simplify it, they're just regular milkshakes, right? And so they gave, the first group, they were like, this is a healthy, low calorie, nutritious milkshake that helps build muscle. And then what do you think about it? And we're going to do, study how your body reacts to it, you know, measuring your insulin, your hormones after an hour after consuming it. Right. And then they went to the other group and they said, this is a rich, decadent, delicious,
super indulgent.
Sometimes you just gotta treat yourself. If you're not, you're cheating yourself. It's rich and fat and sugar, but who cares? It's so yummy. And the group that thought they were eating the decadent milkshake, the body reacted unfavorably to it with the hormone ghrelin that talks about satiating, was reacting in a way that basically made them more hungry. Or so
no, the
was it
you,
the, all you the mixed, opposite around
you, you mixed it up.
Yeah.
So the low, quote unquote, low calorie one,
yeah,
made people more hungry because they didn't feel as satiated. The one that they were told, the same exact calorie amounts, the one that they were told was more indulgent and more calorie rich, that one made people more satisfied. And so they produced less ghrelin. And so they lost weight compared to the other people, right?
No, but also the way it also was that the body itself reacted in a way that it spiked its insulin. So it was a situation that you literally, the placebo effect, how you think about your food changes the way your body reacts to it. And I'm not saying go out and drink milkshakes and think this is health food or whatever. It's that, and I see about this, like in eating disorders or people who have anxiety over their food tend to be less healthy because they feel like the food is out to get them.
They have an adversarial relationship with food.
Right,
like meat is bad. You know, I can't eat that. It's, you know, this is not good. Or lectins are going to kill me. Or this is going to poison me.
And look, I'm not a religious person. You know, I'm not going to tell you, but basically the act of praying before you eat or the act of meditating or giving thanks, even if you could just sit for a moment and express, this food is going to build muscle. This food is going to be good for me. I am grateful for the world that I live in that allows me to have this nutrition, this food here. Whether it's a burger and fries.
What's taking on that moment? Being mindful. Mindfulness is the thing that people really talk about a lot these days, because you're in that moment, you're taking inventory of this kind of stuff. And it's, you know, in many ways, it's a form of meditation. So, you know, you're lowering your stress, your anxiety, your pain, your depression. You know, if you have high blood pressure, maybe that's going down because you're just being in that moment and saying, this is the food I have before me. I'm going to enjoy it. It's going to nourish my body. And that can be a great stress relief, you know? So instead of, like, you know, sitting on your phone while you eat, just be conscious of what you're eating and enjoying it.
And I noticed that, you know, I like to be entertained while I eat and stuff, and I shouldn't be on my phone as much, but it's like, even at the beginning of the meal, if you can just sit down and think about, like, just clear your mind, lower your stress, lower your anxiety, it actually increases your insulin sensitivity. So your body's ability to digest whatever you're putting in it, when you anticipate, when you're expressing gratitude and kindness and love for the food and the world that you live in before you eat, it's actually going to have a measurable positive impact on your health and your ability to grow muscle. So put the phone down, stop, and just give thanks. If you're a religious person, pray. If you're not a religious person, express gratitude and thanks. Just give yourself 30 seconds or a minute to just clear your mind, look at the food, and imagine how delicious it is and how wonderful it is. So when you eat it, it gives you the maximum benefit to your body.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all we have for Let's Grow Big Together.
Thank you for listening. We appreciate your support.
Yeah. So if you want some coaching from me, you know, it's pretty awesome. I do have a couple of positions available. So not, you know, because I try to give people my full attention. And it's like, when I hear people, coaches are like, I have 90 clients. I'm like, well, clearly you're not connecting with all your clients, right? So a good coach is going to have a small number of clients, in my opinion, because it's like they're able to mindfully react and guide you. Message me. Let's Grow Big Together on Instagram, Fausto Fernos, or Facebook. And together we can build better bodies and make you, help you grow and achieve your dreams. Because, honey, life is short.
Get big.
Or die trying. And, you know, we want to thank you so much for listening to the podcast.
I'm Mark Fillion.
No, but where can people go subscribe, right?
Oh, subscribe where any place where you find podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google,
And if they want to
Google stop their podcast,
Google Podcast is still a thing.
Okay, yeah. It's still around. Now YouTube's they got on the tubes.
And you can also follow us on YouTube as well. YouTube.com/Feast of Fun. But so if you don't like ads, you can go to feastoffun.com/plus and become a member and just listen to all the shows without any pesky ads. And sometimes we will put in some partnerships in there for things that we think that would benefit you and that you would enjoy. But it's not going to be like refinance your mortgage or any of that nonsense bullshit that, you know, so many podcasts have. And if you like, if you do don't mind the ads, then you can just hit the skip button. But don't tell me, don't tell them I said that. <Don't tell them. laughs> But anyways, listen, we rely on your financial support to make this show happen. So if you want to give us a tip, go to feastoffun.com/donate and make a one-time donation or follow us on Patreon. For just a few bucks a month, you can listen to the podcast ad-free. Patreon.com/feastoffun. Thank you so much for listening.
Bye-bye.